I came upon a book about God that I've been reading lately. It's a book by Rob Bells, and the title of the book is Love Wins. Bells is writing this book for those people whose image of God could be unhealthy. So, for example, think about people who are so unsure about God that they never know quite what to expect when they see God face to face. Like, they have no idea what God is like. Or think of other people who think of God as this watchful policeman whose job 24 hours is to look for infringements. Or think of people for whom God is just way beyond human experiences. Bells is writing this book for them. And his point is very simple. He says, if you want to know what God is like, take a look at Jesus. And the most significant thing that Jesus showed us about God is that love wins. What do you think? Can God's love prevail over the greatest rejection of God, the bloody murder of Jesus Christ? Can God's love prevail over that? Do you think, as Bells writes in his book, that one day hell might be an empty place? You hear that? But one day hell might be an empty place because God's love is greater than the powers of hell. Do you think that even hell itself is no longer a place of separation from God? After all, the psalmist says in Psalm 139, if I go down to the depths of hell, even there, God, you are there. There was a famous theologian by the name of Karl Barth, a Protestant theologian, who once said, strange Christianity, whose most pressing anxiety seems to be that God's grace might proved to be too free for all. That hell, instead of being populated with so many people, might prove to be empty. If that's the Christian problem, it would be a great problem. So Rob Bells is saying something like that. He's saying that Christianity is a celebration of God's boundless love. And I like this phrase. He says, a love as wide as the sky and as small as the cracks in your heart that no one knows about. God's love. A love as wide as the sky and as small as the cracks in your heart that no one knows about. Now, obviously, this book is going to raise many questions. If everybody's going to go to hell or to heaven and finally there's nobody in hell, what does all that mean? Of course, this book raises many questions. But today, this Easter, along with Bells and along with all the Christians all over the world, really, I want to shout this from the rooftop. Love wins. That is the feast of Easter. I want to stand beside the still wounded yet risen Christ, and I want to tell the whole world, love wins. And I want Christ to look at me with tender assurance, and I want Christ to say to me, love wins. In three very brief points, I want to bring this down to a more practical level in our lives. This whole theme of love wins. Now, to understand what that means, I'm going to ask you to reflect on the opposite of love wins. Say love did not win. So here are a few scenarios that I'm going to point out for you. What if Good Friday was the last we heard about Christ? What if the tomb never opened again? What if Mary and the women at the tomb sat there day after day, week after week, and then finally went home in despair? What would it mean if the tomb was the end of an otherwise eventful life of a man by the name of Jesus? What if all this was true? And the best way to answer these questions is to take our minds to a time, say, for example, when you buried a loved one. You lost your father, mother, maybe your spouse, a child. Or think about the time you accompanied somebody through their terminal illness, and perhaps they're still struggling with it. Or think about a spouse who lost the partner to whom they've been married for 50, 60 years. Think about it. And now imagine burying that person without the hope of ever meeting them again. Or think about a serious sin, an infidelity, a hurtful lie, a damning betrayal, an act of absolute selfishness. Think about somebody who has truly betrayed you, or somebody you betrayed. And now imagine there were no second chances. That love cannot triumph over sin. Imagine that. Or think of your child who's battling a failure, or a loved one battling depression, or meaninglessness and darkness. And now imagine that you could never offer a word of hope or love or a prayer. Imagine that. Think for a moment that hatred and violence and war and failure and despair and hopelessness was the last word ever spoken. But that first Easter day, love moved the tombstone that covered the tomb of Jesus. That was God's way of saying, you can reject me, you can insult me, you can mock me, you can spit upon me, you can crown me with thorns, you can strike me, you can crucify me, you can even kill me, but love wins. Nothing, not hatred, lies, betrayal, death, or even hell prevails. Resurrection and salvation and hope and reconciliation and peace is ours, folks. It is ours because love wins. Secondly, all the readings that we have, the second readings that we have in today's Easter Masses, each of them are different, is from the epistle of Paul to the different communities. And one of Paul's favorite themes is that by baptism, every Christian dies with Christ. So for example, yesterday, we had about 30 people up here coming into the church confirmed, out of which about 17 or 18 of them were baptized in this font right here. Kids who went in there, adults who went in this font here, and everybody went into the water, and that symbolizes death. And then I dunked them with loads of water, made sure they were all drenched well with the Spirit of God, and as they come up, it symbolizes resurrection. Paul takes this theme and he says, your baptism and mine, it should be for us in our lives a symbol of the new life of Christ, who died and now he has risen. If this is true, that we have died with Christ and we rise to life, then Paul says the implication of it is that in our lives too, love must win. Christ's love must get a fair chance. So the good news of Easter is that Christ has risen from the dead, but that good news is also the greatest challenge. When we are inclined to think that violence and war can solve world problems, when we are betrayed by friends, when marriage and family is threatened, say, by infidelity or misfortune or illness, when tragedy strikes us or the ones we love, or when death is at our door, we are called to live like Christ lived. At the end of our lives, and folks, hear me, at the end of our lives, we will have to stand before God and bear witness in our lives that love wins. If Jesus shows us that love wins, and we have died with Christ, then judgment will be this, that you and I can stand before God and say, God, in my life, love wins. That is the Easter challenge. And thirdly, one of the greatest realities of the post-resurrection church was how quickly and rapidly the church grew. Somehow, the believable story of a man put to death on the cross like a criminal, and the unbelievable story that a man rose from the dead, the believable and the unbelievable story of this man Jesus, captured the then known world. It is evident from our post-resurrection readings that the reason why this happened was that these Christians, early Christians, took their conviction about Christ to every corner of the world. Not threats, not persecutions, not even death could stop them. Nothing could stop them from telling the whole world that love wins. And there is a term for this phenomenon. It's called evangelization. For many people, evangelization means bringing people to their church and asking people to accept the doctrines of their church. Well, the early Christian church tells a different story, because doctrines had still not developed even at that point. That story was very simple. They took the love of Christ, and with the conviction in their heart, they just let the world experience this love for what it was. Paul would say, I preach Christ crucified. Plain, simple. Let the love of God be experienced by the world for what it is. Could we be the same? Could we take the message of Christ to our world and let our family, our work, our friend and foe experience the love that wins? Because of you, could the world be alive with the love of Christ? So, as the bread and wine is brought forward, folks, this is going to be our Easter experience at the tomb. Yes, the burial cloths are not there. What is here with us, what is here on the table here and then in our hearts will be the same Christ about whom the young man in the gospel said, he's not here, he's risen. When you say yes to this Christ today, let the love that wins invade your life. Let the love that wins take over your life. And take this love of the risen Christ wherever you go. May the Easter joy fill our lives and the world we know. For love wins. The people of God said,